إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, we come to the third of the requirements for brotherhood, third of the rules of brotherhood, and that is the willingness to forgive and the willingness to seek forgiveness. No matter how close you might be with people, no matter how well you know people, and in some cases it works opposite, because it is with people that you know very well and people that you are close with that you become the informality sometimes can become offensive. People that you are not so close to, you are formal, you are on your best behavior. But when you get close to people, that is when mistakes happen. This is what happens in marriages all the time. You know, before they get married, the husband and wife, no matter how many times they meet and so on, they are always on their best behavior, they only see the good side. But after they get married, then there are no boundaries, no barriers, formality is not there anymore. And then new parts of their personality emerge which might not be acceptable. And the same thing happens with regard to friendship and brotherhood. And therefore, the ability to forgive, the willingness to forgive your brothers and sisters for what they may do, either deliberately or sometimes unknowingly. Sometimes people have mannerisms which they are not even aware of that. They are not trying to offend you or something, but there is a way they talk, or you know, they may say something or do something, or joking, for example. I mean, somebody, people may think they are having fun, but somebody gets offended, right? So in these cases, I mean, the important thing is to forgive. Now, obviously, the best example for this is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in his case, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala gave us an example, which is what I am saying is trivial compared to the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah ﷺ had to forgive things which were not mannerisms, which were not jokes. He had to forgive things which were serious, very, very serious. People who literally spent their entire time and life trying to harm him in every possible way. People who tried to harm him physically, tried to kill him. When they could not do that, who tried to assassinate his character, who tried to slander him, who tried to, you know, defame him in every possible way. And they did not leave any stone unturned. The fact that Rasulullah ﷺ was not physically harmed, the fact that, or at least he was physically harmed also, but he didn't die, they didn't kill him. And also the fact that he was not defamed was not because of lack of effort on their part. That's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Nabi ﷺ. It's not because these people decided to give up. They didn't give up. They did that till the end. Until either they died in some cases, and in other cases, until they accepted Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned their hearts. They tried very, very hard. I mean, and there's so many cases. Abu Sufyan and his wife, Hinda, you take Amr ibn al-As, you take Khalid ibn Walid, you take so many people, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. All of these people, what did they do before they came to Islam? Let's take Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhum, for example. What did he do before he came to Islam? But all these people, Rasulullah ﷺ forgave. Yeah? Take the case of the most famous of the cases of Al-Wahshi, who killed Hamza radiallahu anhu. Nabi ﷺ forgave. The forgiveness of Rasulullah ﷺ has literally no equal in the history of mankind. I don't know of any case of anybody who forgave his enemies the way Rasulullah ﷺ forgave his enemies. And not only here, in Medina, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Medina, the man who spent his whole time while he was there, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the so-called leader of the Munafiqeen, he spent his entire existence, he spent his entire time trying to harm Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, he could not do that, but he did his best, and eventually the man died. And when he died a natural death. So when he died, his son, Abdullah bin Abdullah, Radhalano, was a Muslim, he came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, please give your, you know, shirts, give your thobe to bury my father. Because he was worried, obviously he knew what his father was. So Rasulullah says, give his thobe. I mean, imagine, I mean, why would you do that? He gave his, you know, thobe to him. Then Abdullah bin Abdullah bin Salul radhiyallahu anhu, he came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, please come and pray Salatul Janazah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and prayed Salatul Janazah for this man. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing there to pray Salatul Janazah, Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu came and stood in front of him, between him and the Janazah. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, don't pray Salatul Janazah for this man. He is an enemy of Islam. He is not a Muslim. He did this, he did that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, move away. He said, move away. And he prayed Salatul Janazah. After he prayed Salatul Janazah, this is the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. Allah could have sent that ayat 5 minutes earlier, but he did not. Because if he had sent the ayat earlier, then the Nabi would have been put into a difficult position. Now the Quran has come, now what to do? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let him pray. After he prayed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the ayat of the Quran and said, even if you ask forgiveness for these people 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. Right? What was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's response? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if I knew that Allah will forgive him if I ask forgiveness for him 71 times, I would ask 71 times. There is no parallel that I know of anyone anywhere who ever said something like this or whoever did something like this. To see people who were seriously harmful and people who were seriously toxic. So how much more important is it for us to forgive each other? Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu is sitting in Juma. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa. He stood to give the khutbah. And he, in the khutbah, he said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu atiu Allah wa atiu Rasula wa ulil amri minkum. The ayat of Surah An-Nisa, he said, oh, you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Rasul and obey the leaders from among you. Now, in the middle of the entire congregation, this is happening in Juma. Salman Farsi said, we will obey Allah, we will obey the Rasul, but we will not obey you. Now imagine the situation, right, in front of everyone. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu just went silent, and then he said, why do you say that? He didn't say, how dare you say it? He didn't say, I am the Khalifa. He didn't say, don't you have any sense? If you have a question, shouldn't you ask this, you know, privately? Why are you asking this in public? Nothing. He just said, why are you saying that? Salman al-Farsi radhiyallahu anhu said, because the cloth that came in Ghanima, you gave it to the people of Badr, and each of us got one sheet, and I see that you are wearing two pieces. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu kept silent. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who was sitting there, he stood up and he said, my father is a big man. One piece of cloth is not sufficient for him, so I gave him mine. Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu said, in that case, we will obey Allah and we will obey the Rasul and we will also obey you. Is finished. Now think about this. No apology was sought, no apology was given. Automatically they forgave each other. Why did Salman Farsi ask this question in that place? That also is something to think about. Salman al-Farsi radhiyallahu anhu had enough wisdom to know that such a question is better to ask quietly by yourself. He could have asked him one to one, what was the problem? Why did he ask him in public? He asked him in public because he knew that he is not the only one with that question in his mind. So he was doing Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab a favor by asking that question in public. Because he knew in his mind that there are many people in the congregation who probably have this doubt that Sayyidina Umar has taken more than his share. But they don't have the courage to ask him. So he said, let me ask the question, let it be clarified in public, so that nobody can have any doubt about the Khalifa. So even asking that question is actually a favor to his friend, so that the name will not be spoiled and there is no aspersion which can be cast by anybody on the good name of the Khalifa. Now, these were the akhlaq of the Sahaba. And the final story from the Seerah, which I want to end with, which we have mentioned many times, but it's something good to remind ourselves, is the story of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. About who? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 3 times he said, the man will enter here who is from the people of Jannah. And Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, day after day, 3 consecutive days, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu entered the masjid. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu went and stayed with him for 3 days just to learn what is it that he is doing, for because of which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him this bashara. He could not find anything unusual, so he asked him. And when he asked him, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu said, what I do you could not have seen because it is inside me. It is internal. He said, what is that? He said, I forgive everybody every night. He said, I don't take any debts with me. If I have done something where I need to ask forgiveness, I ask forgiveness. During the day, I clear my debts. And in the night, before I sleep, I forgive everybody, whoever may have done anything against me. And the result of this amal, wallahu alam, is the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the bashara of Jannah. So forgiving each other, it is human to err. It is human to make mistakes. It is human to do something which is wrong. Whether somebody does it deliberately, whether somebody does it unknowingly, if you want brotherhood to be there, if you want the hearts to be together, then you have to forgive and you have to ask forgiveness. Both are important. Sometimes you might not ask forgiveness. Other person does not know. In other cases, the other person, you know, you don't forgive. You think the person has offended you. That person doesn't even know he's offended you. So it's very important to forgive each other and to seek forgiveness to each other. So to close, 3 requirements for brotherhood. The first one is awareness of and a sense of belonging based on one thing. Second one, which is the bunyat, which is the foundation, which is in this case the question of faith. Second one is the willingness to accept and appreciate differences in each other, not demanding that everyone should be like you. And the third one is the willingness to forgive each other. These 3 things, inshallah, if we cultivate, then we can build friendships and we can build brotherhood. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us, to give us big hearts, which will enable us to build brotherhood, because that is the single biggest problem, of single biggest missing thing today among the ummah. We ask Allah to help us to fulfill that, inshallah, and to create the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam once again. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika rahmatullahi.